Boss Man Show. Here with a close friend of mine, somebody I call a brother to me. Been down with me since 2014. My man, Donnie Tindall. Coach, how you doing, my good brother? How's life treating you, man?
I'm doing all right, man. This stuff is so crazy as that we were talking about off the air, but plugging away, trying to grow and get better even when we're locked indoors and just, you know, bored to death, to be honest with you, but understand it's just where our world is at right now. It's crazy, man.
Now, as I told our coach, I was in Nashville to celebrate my birthday when everything kind of went sideways with the virus and the tournament getting canceled, the NBA getting canceled, Julie getting canceled. So where were you when you heard about everything getting shut down for the season and what have you? And how did your team take it when you had to tell them?
Well, we were in town for a few days. We played a home game, and we were getting ready to go to Orlando. And a day or two before we were going to leave is when the Golden State situation took place, and then the Utah Jazz OKC game happened where they canceled the game right before the tip-off. And so that immediately threw up a lot of red flags around the league. And then once the NBA said we're going to, you know, postpone things, everything on hold for a while, the G League followed suit. So we were here in town and getting ready to leave for Orlando. Literally the next morning, we had a noon flight. We were leaving our apartment complex at like 9:15, and we got the call the night before saying the trip's off. So we got together, met with the team, and explained the situation, and we were kind of in a holding pattern for about a week. And then they said, look, we still could resume this thing, but if guys want to go ahead and go home to their home base, be around their family, they can go ahead and leave. And so eventually, within the next couple weeks, our entire team did exactly that. And I've stayed in constant contact with our players and kept them abreast as what's happening. And they still haven't officially canceled the G League season. So who knows? But it looks pretty bleak at this point.
Yeah, and I can only imagine guys on your roster, because you was having a great year. You guys had won the most games in Grand Rapids Drive history right now. You had your guys playing well. And so just knowing what you guys were kind of accomplished this year, how well you had your guys playing, because your guys played hard for you. You know, they maximized their talent for you. So how did it make you guys feel as a group, knowing that, hey, we had some things to accomplish here with playing so well, representing Grand Rapids and the Drive and the Pistons? Well, and the team had to love what you got doing there on the farm, per se, there.
You know, we were excited. We had a very, very unselfish team, which isn't always the case at this level. As you know, Boss Man, it's hard to get 10, 12 G League players to buy into the team concept, because everybody on your roster is trying to play well and get a call up or improve their stats or their ranking or their stature in regard to maybe going to Europe the following year and get a better paying position. So it's hard to get guys to really buy into the team concept, but our team did. We were unselfish. We led the league in assist percentage. So that talks about how we valued the ball, how we shared the ball, how we made extra passes. I was very, very proud of that. And then the hardest thing to get guys to do consistently at this level is defend and rebound. And we were number one in the league in defense and rebounding. So I was really, really proud of our team in regard to how they played. We didn't always play well, but we usually played together. We usually played very hard, and we defended that. Which gives you, and that's why we were having a nice season. We were set to be in the playoffs, possibly even have a home first round game for the first time in the history of the organization. So that would have been really, really cool. And, you know, it was disappointing, but, you know, you look around the country, and whether it's the NCAA tournament with seniors missing their last chance to play the big dance, or the NBA season and so many guys from the Lakers and Bucks right on down having great seasons, that people are disappointed. A lot of people are devastated, but at the end of the day, there's nothing more important than the welfare and health of your players and your fans and your family, and that's where this thing sits. So we were disappointed. I feel like the Pistons front office was excited about the development of some of our younger guys. Sekou did a nice job in his time with us, and Dante Hall made good improvements. So that's the most important thing, that those young guys were getting better and playing the right way, and felt like we did that.
Coach, you feel like that, you know, this, what your experience being a college coach, It helps you relate to guys trying to prove themselves and wanting to get better from coaching college basketball. Those guys are kind of close to that age, 19, 20, 21, 22, 24, 25 years old. So guys you've probably maybe recruited new from AAU ball, so they know who you are and they respect you, and they know that you helped develop guys and develop pros. You feel like that helped them buy into you and what you want them to do this year on this team?
I do think it helps on the front end, boss man. I think any time that – you know, it's like if me coaching a player, I found out about a guy on the front end and heard he's tough and heard he's responsible and heard he's a great kid and a tough, hard-nosed competitor. Well, then my opinion of him on the front end is already pretty positive. And I think, you know, for the most part, these guys know what my background, or at least some of my background in college, that we developed guys like Kenneth Reed and Josh Richardson, et cetera. And we won, and we played the right way. So I do think that helps. But what's really unique about pro basketball is, as a coach, you can learn as much or more from the players than you would from a game and competition, or maybe even another coach or even your staff. These guys that play pro basketball, JR, are really, really, really basketball savvy. And if you don't know what you're talking about, you can have a reputation as this, that, or the other on the front end. But if they don't think you know what you're talking about, or they don't think you're telling them the right stuff to make them better, they will tune you out and you will lose your team quick. And so I think the biggest thing is, yeah, they probably knew about me on the front end or had heard. But until they got there and really understood how hard we push guys and how much extra time we're willing to spend with them off the floor, watching tape in the gym, all the things that people don't know about or see on the TV, on game night, those are things you need to do, and those are things we did. And I think that probably earned the respect of myself and our staff more than anything, that they really bought in and felt like we were doing everything we could to develop them and help them grow as players.
Now, I know you love college basketball, but talk about your transition from being a college coach to being a pro coach. I know at first you had some apprehension, you was kind of going back and forth with it, but then we kind of probably talked about it on our own a little bit, and then you kind of decided to make this move. So for you, finally getting immersed into this NBA G League and this whole new realm of coaching, how's that transition been for you this past 2 years or so you've been doing this?
Well, I learned a great deal. You know, my first opportunity was to be with Coach Stackhouse there, at Vanderbilt. Now, when we were at the Raptors G League team, we won the world title my 1 year there. And it was a big transition because the game is so different, boss man. It's faster. There's way more possessions. The rules are different. There's just so many more decisions and quicker decisions you have to make as a coach in the pro game. So being able to learn, you know, under Coach Casey there in Toronto and with Stack in the G League team, was really, really beneficial for me. And then as I kind of continued to grow, and this year being my first year as the head coach, the biggest thing I was uncertain about is, can you coach these guys hard? Can you be direct with them? And can you get them to play the right way? We play 50 games, 50 nights a year, you know, and everyone said, heck, coach, if you can get them to do the right thing for 45 of the 50 nights, you're going to have a heck of a season. And so I was myself, you know. I think in college, when you challenge guys, you can be a little more personal than you can at the NBA. But at the end of the day, you can be direct and straightforward with these guys. They want to be coached. And I think that's a misconception among pro players from the casual fan. Now, they don't want a coach. They just want a coach to roll the ball out there and let them play. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. These guys want to get better. They want to develop and grow because they all want to make more money and move up the ladder. And whether that would be considered selfish by some or whatever the reason being, the bottom line is they want to be coached, and we coached them hard. We were on their tail and challenged them every single day on the practice floor and in the film room and right to the very end. And so that was the biggest thing for me as a head coach, was what is I going to be able to challenge these guys and be direct with them like I had always been at the college level. And again, give my guys credit. Had a great staff, had a great group of young men. They bought in. They allowed us to coach them the right way. And I think every guy on our team, to a man, would tell you that they improved and got better this season under us.
Oh, yeah, I could definitely see that. And I feel like, you know, when I watch your games on the G League Live feed, I will see you guys in tune with you. No, you guys are paying attention to you in timeouts, and they believe in what you're saying, so I'm envying the timeouts. I'm watching, so I can see just from afar that your team bought into you and your staff. You can tell when a team is checked out on a coach, or they don't really pay them no attention. They blow off play calls. They don't listen to what you're saying to them. You know, just doing free throws. So I can tell your team really bought into you and your staff, coach.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I think, again, you're not going to lead the team in defense. You're not going to lead the league in assist percentage. Two things that, in my mind, are saying and showing that you're really playing the right way if guys aren't bought in and in tune. And again, they deserve the credit for that. You know, I always say, I'm going to do my job. You guys got to do your job. And I had a great group of guys that did their job consistently. And I think everyone now feels like they were rewarded. We were winning. Guys were getting recognition. Guys were sharing the ball, trusting their teammates, trusting their coaches. And, you know, the side effect from all those things is winning and guys playing well. And that's what we had going until this virus deal hit us.
Now, Coach, I love how you've grown from a zone guy in college. You had those exotic zones you like to play, but to a man, a guy here in the G League and the NBA, I love how you've adapted your scheme to that, man. So how's that been for you, knowing that what you prefer to play in college now, so now as you've been more of an NBA player, that man, and having to, you know, maybe decide to maybe drop a guy in the post or switch, go over screens or switch everything. So how's those schemes been for you, picking those up from where you used to be in college there?
Well, I think that was another thing that was going to be really challenging for me. And I'd really studied man-to-man defense in the NBA the last 3 or 4 years and tried to become as knowledgeable as I could in the man-to-man, because, you're going to play 95% man-to-man in the NBA. And we did, and we were pretty good at it. Obviously, there's some things I learned that maybe we do a little bit differently this upcoming season. But this is pretty interesting. The final stats just came out, and after 43 games, we played the second most possessions of zone of any G League team, which is only 10 possessions per game. That's what we play, 10.3 possessions. But we were number one in the league in points per possession at 82.829. And then we were number one in the league in our zone in defensive field goal percentages. People shot 39% against us. So points per possession by in our zone, we are number one. And then field goal percentage against our zone, we are number one. So not only did we guard in our man-to-man, but the little bit of zone we did play, we played it pretty darn well. And I think, I really think that you can play some zone in the NBA, especially against certain opponents or certain lineups. It's just, you take the time to really teach it and spend it on it and practice on film, because you're not going to play a lot of possessions of it over the course of the season. So that's always a dilemma for our coach or a coach. We spent some time on our zone. Don't get me wrong, and I think that's why we're pretty good at it. I don't think it took away from our man-to-man defense. But we got a little zone in there, even a little 2-2-1 three-quarter court trap back to our zone, JR. So a little college flavor there.
Oh, yeah, it's always good to have a variety of being able to throw somebody off of there, because they think you're going to play man all the time. And also, you hit them with a surprise 2-3 zone or a 3-2 zone or a 1-3-1 or a 2-2, a 2-1-2. It's going to throw them off, especially then you don't want to trap them too. Because a lot of pro teams don't expect to be trapped, ever, unless it's probably late game or if that even. So to throw them off, they have that little wild card in your back pocket there. It's always something good to have there.
Well, I agree. And, you know, the thing about this level is there's so many great coaches that run great stuff out of timeouts. You know, they're called ATOs, which stands for after timeout plays. And guys are really, really good at this level drawing up plays. And then, heck, the players are so good. If you even get them halfway open on a good set, they're going to make the shot or make the play. So we would kind of throw some zone out of ATOs and thinking they were going to draw something up versus a man-to-man, and so that would catch them off balance occasionally, and felt like that was a pretty good change of pace for us. So you're right. It's nice to have a couple different things, and the bottom line is guys got to go play it and buy in. And just like our man-to-man, when we went zone, guys were aggressive. They were bought into it, and they weren't over there rolling their eyes like, man, we're playing some zone. This is crazy. They knew it was a weapon for us and played the right way.
So, Coach, so how are you going to be spending your days here as we are in the quarantine world, man? I know you're probably doing some evaluation for the Pistons for us, draft picks, maybe potential picks, you guys may draft and evaluating your team as well, writing up those final stat things for the big team. So what are your days like now since we're in quarantine and you're still kind of doing some work from home here for the Pistons?
Yeah, I tell you what I'm doing a lot of is I'm going back and watching every game that we played this season, taking notes and you know, looking, seeing what we did well, what maybe we could have or should have done better, et cetera. Then I'm studying some other teams, obviously the Pistons, with some other teams as well that I like some things they do at both ends of the floor, trying to pick up a thing or two that maybe they do that could help me / us. And then I am watching some mostly guys that would be at our level, the G League stuff, guys that are coming out as seniors since they didn't have Portsmouth this year. I was going to go to that with our general manager, John Phelps, and evaluate some talent and do some interviews there. So been watching some tape on guys that are G League prospects and then trying to just get a workout in. You know, I can't go to the gym, but I walk / jog every day and lift weights a little bit at our place. So, you know, trying to stay as healthy and as active as I can. And my mom and dad aren't too far away, so I don't let them leave the house. I go pick up some groceries and deliver those to them once a week. And, you know, just trying to abide by the rules and stay in, but yet stay as active and keep my mind as sharp as possible, because it's easy to get bored and want to take a nap every day or sleep in till noon. And obviously that's not going to help you get where you're trying to go.
I hear that. Well, bro, stay safe. It's always been like a brother to me, close friend. So I'm happy for your success. I'm happy from where you've came from. And people are now seeing, like, well, I know that you're a damn good coach and you're a damn good person at that. And the people who have lied on you and persecuted you, they're getting that penance now, because you're definitely successful. And then nobody can take that away from you at all no more. You're doing what you want to do, and you're loving what you're doing. I'm happy for you, bro. I really am.
Well, I appreciate you, buddy. You're a loyal friend, a good friend, and stay safe out there. Take care of your family, and let's stay in touch. But I appreciate you having me on.
Anytime, bro. Be best, bro. Talk to you real soon, man.
Okay. Thanks now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's Donnie Tim, the Boston Show.
My heart skipping the beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music, girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
I don't think you know what you're doing to me. You got my...
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show with a friend of mine, Donald Young, with me. We didn't talk to him since last year, but he's back with the show. It's DY. What's good, my brother?
Not too much, man. Just hanging in there, staying safe at home.
Thank God you have a court you can work on, man. Thank God for that, man. Like bro, how tell me this. Were you at the Hawks game the night it all went down on my birthday? Were you at the game that night, or were you not? Are you out of town?
I think I was out of town. I think I did not make it to that game, but it was crazy. Like, yeah, I wanted to go. I didn't make it to that game. Like, I mean, it just all happened so fast.
Yeah, and can you believe that Vince Carter's career ended like that on a last second three? He actually hated it. You know, it's like Koreans, you know.
Yeah, that's unreal. That's like a really anticlimactic ending to something like that. I was looking forward to his last game. It was like he was going to do a speed whole thing and just to, you know, give him that last send off with the crowd. But yeah, that's unfortunate. It was missed and the season was ended so abruptly.
Yeah, I was in Nashville actually for my birthday. I was in Nashville and I got a text saying the season's over. I'm like, what? The virus season's over. I'm like, for real? I'm on Twitter. It was true. I'm celebrating my birthday. I'm having a good time. I'm going to the casino chilling. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
Get this text. I'm like, what? So, yeah, it's been a whirlwind for me, man. Not being able to cover the Hawks, the Grizzlies, and the Hornets. But, you know, we got to be safe. So, for you, Dr. D.Y., a tennis player who travels the world, man, how do you feel about this, knowing that you travel the world? You know, anywhere you go could have this thing going on. So, how do you feel about getting into traveling and having to go to other countries and play tournaments knowing nobody's virus?
Yeah, our sport faces a different dynamic and more of a challenge than, you know, sports that are domestic based, because it's worldwide and you have to travel to get there, and players need visas and have to come out of the country. And you have all these people coming from all these different places with the travel restrictions and the countries and the people with the virus and the, having to be quarantined 14 days to, you know, self, to know if you have it or not, or if you do have it, to let the symptoms subside. It's really tough for us in general, the people and willing to travel around the world so comfortably before this all. I just don't see how it's going to, in the near future, change that quick for everyone to have a fair opportunity to play all the tournaments in all these different continents and places.
Yeah, because, like, you know, for you guys, you're out in the open. Fans are close to you on changeovers. Some places are, at least. And, you know, they say you can go from 6 to 13 feet forwards and call for the air droplets. So, in the tennis balls with the ball kids and ball girls, I mean, it's just so many variables in your sport, man, that out of your control, you know, like, I don't see how it can be done safely anytime soon. At least not until 2021, at minimum.
Yeah. Hey, I agree. I just don't see how that could even play. I mean, you could play with no fans, but then you know, I take the atmosphere, but that part's fine. But then you have to play with no buckheads, which is another reason even more, because then you have an umpire or umpires in plural that have to be out there, and that's at least at the highest level, 7 of those. Yeah, it's just very, very close. And I just don't see how that's possible. And then you have at any given tournament 100 players and a locker room that's very tight quarters. Like, again, it's just a tough scenario.
Yeah, because you can't really distance in a locker room. That's why, you know, I know with the Hawks, like, you have 17 guys in a kind of a small space. And that scares me. Come back to work, you know, having asthma, for me, at least having asthma, you know what I'm saying? So, right. Just think for you guys, having 100 guys and, you know, trying to slam into the BBC Atlanta Open locker room or the 12 hotel or whatever you want to do, riding the cart together. That's not something I want to do, you know? Like, no, I ain't having.
Right, exactly. Yeah, 100% is not social distance at all, the proper protocol.
So, with gyms kind of closed right now, so how have you been trying to stay in shape and, you know, work out and not lose rhythm you already built up from you know, your time in November, December to now? So how do you kind of stay in that rhythm now, knowing that, you know, you really can't go to a gym per se, and can't really get nobody hit with you? So how's that been for you?
Yeah, for me, I've been fortunate. I have, you know, like a gym at the house and a court at the house. So I've been able to, you know, kind of keep up practicing, obviously not with other guys, but I've been able to at least work on my game and hit serves and hit some balls and do some drills in the gym. I've been able to actually keep up my gym regimen and do all my normal stuff that I would normally do. So that part for me has been easier than most. I know some guys rely on the gyms or are training at tennis centers that are closed and they don't have access, or the courts they would have access to are public courts that are, unfortunately, haven't hit a ball. I've talked to a friend that haven't touched a ball and are struggling to do actual proper workouts. They can only do, you know, some bodyweight stuff.
But for me, having played football, for me, kickball, racket sport, tennis or golf or badminton, like, you have to really use it or you lose it almost. So for you, if you had to pick a racket, say, months or Sunday, how long does it take you to get back in your rhythm to actually hitting balls clean again?
Yeah, that could take a while, depending on how long you've been off. I mean, at this level, you hit so many balls that it'll come back, but the rhythm is fine. It's when you play, like, that's what you get out of stuff, like, you know, knowing what to do at certain points, at certain dimensions, when I have a play for, you know, months at a time, which it could be, you know, that's the part people see come back, and I don't think that's going to be that easy.
Oh, yeah, you know, like, for me, like, having that pressure of a break point or planning a tiebreaker, you know, having to get back, break back to get back on serve and a set or something like that, man, I can only imagine. You're going to do so much in practice to simulate that. You really don't get into an actual match. For me, having to catch footballs on the practice field, nothing. Actually, in a gank in football, okay, you feel like you have an ass, send a defender, didn't find five you have. So I can imagine for you guys having to practice those scenarios is not very easy right now, for sure.
No, that's the hardest part. Yeah, that's just not happening. And you just can't simulate match play. And it's basically going to be way longer than it's already almost been longer than the offseason most people ever have a chance to have. So, if a lot of people find the right time or when tournaments are going to start so they can, you know, plan their training so they can peak for a certain period of time, it's hard to just go hard with no foreseeable future on when you're going to start playing.
And I'm glad Wimbledon canceled their tournament, but, like, the French Open to the U.S. Open, which I think probably ain't going to happen, but idea of going from hard to clay, I mean, it's doable, of course. It's not ideal, but it's doable. But, like, really, you really have to train for summer of the U.S. Open at County in New York and go right to Roland Garros? Nah, he ain't make no kind of sense at all.
Yeah, I just that was tough. A lot of people were kind of like, you know, had their eyebrows up. They didn't understand that one. But I mean, I think they're just trying to make sure they can get their French Open and, you know, players can play and make some money. And I think that's their main thing they want, because that's how their federation funds themselves. So they just want to be able to play it. And they kind of did it really quick and didn't really they did it early, had a little benefit from that insurance policy they took out. So it was a big hit for them. But I just, yeah, hard to clay is tougher than clay to hard. That's going to be a very tough transition in a week's time.
Especially, like, you know, now I don't know how the new Miami played, but the old one was very slow, like a slow clay court or a fast clay court. It was very slow. Indian Wells is kind of slow, but the desert makes it go boggles air faster. So that was more like, okay, we can do that. But go from US Open, which is kind of a medium fast court now these days, to the Roland Garros, that's asking somebody to get hurt fast, injure themselves fast.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you. And it's just, you know, you're going to have some guys kind of maybe picking and choosing which one they think they can do better on, which one they're going to take more serious. So that's going to be tough, especially if the summer hardcore season doesn't go off, you know, so you're just basically coming to play one tournament in the States. And if you're European, like, is that, you know, the best idea for you?
Correct. And, you know, nowadays they have going to have, now with this whole pandemic, when is going to have lights at the French Open this year, a roof and there's lights there this year? Is that what they have at the French Open now? I know it gets to get dark there at 9:45 is the max. Maybe if you get them on fee, 10 o'clock maybe. Chatrier, maybe, but now with it being in September, I know it's gonna be darker faster. And like, can we play that late in the night in Paris now, instead of you could here in May? But I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know either with that. I've never been there at that time of the year. I heard the weather's actually better at that time than in May, because it's kind of cold in May, depending on, you know, the, you know, just what happens in the week. But I heard it's amazing all the time during September. So the weather might be fine, but I don't know about the lights. And I just think it's just going to be tough. I really don't know. I could not give you a good answer on how that's going to go. I guess it just remains to be seen.
I ain't gonna lie. I actually fear for you guys, especially like you my guy. Dennis Kula, all you guys, I really care for personally. I'm scared for y'all because, you know, you have to make money traveling out of the States, but it's like just not knowing how this way we're gonna be here with no vaccine. You're just kind of out there to yourself. I mean, I fear for you guys, man. I'm honest with you, man, because it's just the nature of the beast that you guys play. But no, I never thought in my mind that, hey, travel would maybe cause somebody to get sick like this and have to deal with something this crazy that we're dealing with right now.
I agree, yeah, because that's the travel to play, but is it worth your life in a sense? You know, it's kind of like you got to pick and choose. Like, maybe the Americans or the people in North America put all their emphasis on the Open, playing here in the States and maybe not going there. Or you never know, or you go there because you really need the money, you take the risk, but it's just going to be a really different type of situation. And how is their economy moving, and can you get your Ubers?
Prince Charles.
Now, last one I got for you, bro, is this, man. I know you enjoyed coming to Hawks game this year, man. So I saw a numerous amount of game this year. How was it, man, coming to a lot of Hawks games? Didn't see many wins, per se, but how was it coming to a lot of games as you were this year, man?
Yeah, we didn't see that many wins. I enjoyed it as my first time being a season ticket holder and to come to the games and have some of the turn on the team, and Trey put on a show pretty much every day he was there. And it was good. I mean, we got the two rookies that came out. I enjoyed going and spending time and just getting out there and supporting the Atlanta team and on my free time. So it was pretty good.
It's always good to see you, man, when I would show up to the game. I don't come every night as I should, but it's always good to see you when I did show up.
Yeah, for sure. It's always good to see you. We sit down and chat, talk about the game and just sports in general and life. It's always good to catch up.
No doubt. Well, bro, I hope you're staying safe out there, man. I hope to see you real soon, man, once this all this stuff dies down. Man, definitely be cheering for you and praying for you. And I hope this all works out for us all, man. Get you all back out there playing ball, man. You get to get out there doing what you do best, which is winning on matches, man. And then you feel like with your lefty style, man. We're the one of a kind, man. You speed out there. We'll see you real soon, brother.
Yeah, for sure. Likewise. That's me on, man. I look forward to catching. It's a good time. So we'll be soon when this all blows over.
All right, D.Y., thanks so much, brother. Be safe, man.
You too.
All right, it's D.Y. here on the Boss Man Show, people.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you're going to do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
I fell and showed up. My man in Memphis will join me, JC Smith, the JC Sports Report. Bro, what is good, man?
Boss, what's happening with you, man?
Man, you know, another week, man. Another week, man, of being in the house, man. Trying to get by it. Bro, I must tell you. There have been protests here in downtown Atlanta, people to come back to work. I'm thinking to myself, these Trumpies can go and protest about the mask because they're going to be dead in a few weeks. So I'm fine with that, actually. Kill yourselves.
Man, I know, right? It's ridiculous, man, what's going on. It's like, you know, you got scientists, doctors telling you, you know, their best advice, you know, let's just chill, wait it out. And then you got, you know, President Orange, you know, telling people that he wants to get the economy started back up again and, you know, reopen the country May 1st. Like, I mean, okay, so what are we valuing here? Are we valuing money over people's lives? Like, what's the big, you know, the end goal at the end of the day? And you're right, boss, you know, people, you know, I'll admit, at first, I was like, man, this ain't nothing. Or, you know, not the fact that it wasn't nothing, but just the fact that, okay, it's not that serious. But then when you see the numbers rise and everybody, you know, coming down with the virus, man, and the way things are just shut down, at a certain point in time, okay, well, oh, wow, this is something, this is serious, man. So, you know, you take heed, you take precaution, and do what you can, but, man, it's just like some people just won't get it until – you know, it hits your front doorstep until it hits home. And, you know, that's what I think, you know, has to happen for a lot of these people, that the ones that are protesting right now, and Trump is an idiot on Twitter talking about liberating states. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's wild times that we're living in, man. We're going to look back on these times when we get older, much older. We're like, man, we really went through this, man. Like, we really had an idiot in office that was basically had been dividing the country for several years, man. So, you know, it's a sign of the times they were living in, man. So.
Yeah, that's it. I'm actually fine with them protests because it means they'll die. You know, hey, you know, I'm okay, actually. You know, if you want to die, go out here and die, because, you know, bro, this was in Florida and in Georgia where they say if you open up the government, again, the economy, you know, we're just asking funeral directors.
Wow. You're
going to make us rich. Wow. They say this to Brian Kemp and Ron DeSantis here in Georgia and in Florida. If it was done again, you're going to make us really, really rich.
There it is, man. There it is. It's crazy.
Even they know. They know what's coming. And it's not Florida. It's funny. The beach is open in Florida, but the schools are closed. What's that, mate?
Hey, man. Hey, it's Florida. Like, you know, back in the day when you did the ball courts on Florida, man. All the different Florida stories. What do you expect? Like, Florida is going to do what Florida does. Hey, that's who they are, man. They always going to do stuff that makes nothing. You know, people put harm, danger. That's just what Florida, that's what they do, man.
Yes, indeed. And so, bro, the NFL draft is this week. What are the most with the draft coming up here? What storylines you can keep your eye on, man?
Man, definitely, man. What's in the world? Heisman Trophy winner at LSU, national champion, of course. He'll go number one as expected to the Bengals. But after that, man, like, I'm very curious how to do it. You know, they go early, or somebody try to trade up to get him, or do they just spit up because of medicals? And does he fall, you know, late in the first round? Like, Tua is where you're going to pretty much see, you know, anything can happen in the draft there. You know, he can go, as high free or possibly as low as, you know, somewhere, you know, 15 in the first round. You know, it's real, real interesting where he could slide in the first round with Tua. But he definitely will see what the Cowboys are going to do. I think they'll go defensive back, secondary, but C.J. Henderson, Florida, that's who a lot of people have picked for the Cowboys to take in their mock drafts. So, you know, we'll see what the Cowboys do. Now, I know he's going to be a defensive player, whatever that first pick they got going, he's in for a cornerback, man. So it's a lot, you know, to be up there, right?
Yes, indeed, you know, and also this draft is going to be a crush because they couldn't have, like, the pro days and all the meetings with them on the field. So, you know, pretty much drafting blind almost.
Right.
And I think that's going to make for really see who's really a good evaluator and who's not a good evaluator, you know?
No doubt. Like you said, no virtual draft. Basically, they're playing fantasy football. They had a fantasy football draft.
Yes.
At this point, you know, everything going on, man. So, like I said, you know, basically, you know, just going off of what your scouts see and how you can see the guys grab anything like that. So, yeah, man, it's going to be a different year, a different draft, man. And like I said, I'm going to be seeing all these stuff, you know, down the ground.
Yes, indeed. Against the quarterback, go ahead. You know, also, we heard news about Cortez and Markman. Who's like the hot topic in LSU that won't get in the offseason for the offense, you know? So, that's Jacksonville trying to clean house. Now, at $4.1 million, what team do you think should really be interested in signing for the full backfield?
I'm still in for Ned, man. You know, he's a big, strong, powerful, fast running back. I'm still a fan of him, man. I think he has some good years left, some good trail on those tires, man. He's had some injuries in the past. A good team where he'd be a good fit just to come in, man. I think, like, no, if what's the name of it? Houston, Bill Ryan. Man, I think Fournette would be a great fit, you know, man. Or, you know, Texas, you know, I think he needs to go somewhere where it could be a 1-2 punch, like a lightning thunder type of thing, man. You know, like, how dangerous the Saints be if they can on kind of duplicate what they had a couple years ago with Mark Ingram and what's my man's name? Escaping right now.
Reggie Bush. Yeah.
Kamara, thank you. Kamara and one night on the bed. Man, like, put them on the Saints or something like that. That'd be a bad year for you, man. But like I said, Fournette, he had a couple good years left in him, man. I think he's going to go to the team. You know, they can definitely, you know, find use for him, man. He's the guy, he can play. Jacksonville is a tough franchise, tough team to beat, to play for. I don't know, man. But I think Fournette still got some good trail on the tires, man.
Especially Jacksonville ain't up in South Georgia extended. That's all it is. That's South Georgia. That's all Jacksonville really is. That's the sense from South Georgia. It's not really Florida. It's from South Georgia.
Duval.
Yeah, so, hey, if I was the Chiefs or the Steelers, I'd be looking at his way. Because Damian Williams only had 400 yards left in the season. So, if you throw Fournette with that running game, because I'm thinking about this, if you have Patrick Mahomes and all those weapons out on the outside, his running lane's open. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
For somebody to run through there.
Right.
So if you upgrade that position for Kansas City, man, Kirk's right there.
Yeah. You're right about that, man. That'd be a good look. That'd be a very good look.
Also, we got rumors of an Odell trade, potentially. Now, you know how sensitive Odell Beckham is. You know,
yeah.
In Cleveland, you know, dabbling around with the Vikings, potentially, maybe. I mean, what is it that you know about Odell Beckham? You want to trade him so fast? But what are your thoughts on Beckham's attitude going to be, knowing else and rumors about him potentially? And how do the Browns make this up to him and keep if they keep him? How do they keep him on task, knowing that hey, we did kind of look into maybe seeing if we can get rid of you.
Poor Odell, he just can't keep him. And I never him going to Cleveland. I never thought that would be a good fit. You know, Baker Mayfield is good, but he's going to be just a downfield throw like that. He doesn't have that big arm like that, man. So. That was all the fit for him in Cleveland. I feel like, you know, they would end up trading him. What about a team like the 49ers, man? You know, getting Odell and using him as a threat. They did lose Emmanuel Sanders. And the 49ers need a true number one receiving threat. I think that'd be a great destination to look for a trade, man.
I was going to be a good spot for Jameis Winston, too, to learn how to be a quarterback in New England. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan is a robot. That's why. Matt Ryan couldn't audible in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because Shanahan calls the play. You can't
not change it. Right. Change it. Exactly, man. So
that's why Matt Ryan, people say, why did Matt Ryan audible out of pass play? How Shanahan called in his offense? You can't audible. It's whatever he calls. So no matter how bad the look is, you can't change it. Listen to me, of course. So Jameis Winston learns how to go to Kansas, learn how to be a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and rebuild himself. Maybe he pushes out,
right.
if he gets his mind right.
Mm. That'd be something right there if that happened.
So yeah, like you know, I'm just looking at it right there now, bro. Have a little fun with the people, man. Bro, things that brothers can't do during the quarantine. One thing is get your hair cut.
Well, alright. Okay.
Are looking messed up right now.
All right. I stand accused, boss. I'm guilty, man. I have had my hair cut several times during this pandemic, man. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you're still breathing, brother.
I'm
glad you're breathing still.
I can't do the naps, man. I can't have all the gray hair. Like, my hair just nappy. It's just wild, man. So, I had to get cut, man. Shout out to my barber. He came through and, you know, got me looking right, man.
I'm glad you and him both are still living right now.
I know. I took a risk, man. I took a risk.
Now, I will say, I found this nice little tool on Amazon that I use to cut my hair with. Now, I've never cut my hair in my life, but I'm just going with a ball. I went with I just balled my hair out. I just used it. And it worked. I mean, and I had to buy another one because I burnt it out trying to cut my hair the first time. So it's going to be my little tool to keep my head kind of looking okay, you know, right. Like, because I slick messed up a portion of my hairline, but whatever. I just had to. Shit, it's a little bit of that. Until it's calmed down, I'm gonna be going to the team look like, you know, I can get some guys. Awesome, bro. Dating during the quarantine, that's be hard,
man. You know, we were talking about that. Man. We got a new podcast that we just getting started, and we talked about it yesterday actually. You know, dating during coronavirus and how guys and girls are gonna have to kind of go old school in a way, man. Remember back in the day where you used to actually be on the phone a couple of hours, you know, talking to a chick, getting to know her. Like, that's what's going on now. Like, that's a whole conversation now. You know, you really got, you know, like talking to them now. So, there's actually been some good benefits of the shutdown and the pandemic and us staying at home. There's some benefits, man. I think one of them, man. I think getting back to the days of courting and, you know, getting to know you, man, like you used to do back in the day.
But there's also this piece, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go smash. Do you do it or not?
Hey, man.
That's the one you got to think about.
Hey, man, look.
JC's like, yeah, boss. Yeah, I've had to kind of make that call already.
Hey. Several times.
I understand. Hey, I think I'm making the call myself this weekend. Actually,
hey, you like that? You like that, man?
But for real, they ain't got really think about this though. Do you really want to? I roll the dice on this one right here? You know, that's kind of where we are now. Like even just like dating, since we really can't go eat in anywhere anymore, and so that's like probably gonna be done. So I guess now dates are at the park, maybe, you know, a takeout and shut the park, you know,
no doubt,
something like that, because dating is definitely changing. And also, so with the quarantine, side chicks are suffering. They don't know what to do right now. They're probably threatening mutiny right now. They can't get any money because most of them are putting out for some kind of benefit. Most of those are, and now they're threatening, you know. The dude, like, hey, if you don't tell, I'm going to expose you. And so just think about how the side chicks are feeling right now. Because they can't see their boo thing because he's quarantined up with the man thing because he can't dip out like you do.
Hey, man, cold world, man. You know, like, Corona is shutting down a lot of things right now. It's really cutting down on the side relationships. I told you, another benefit, man. Guys are sticking with their main thing. And when this is all over with, they decide, hey, all I need is one. You know, so like I said, my people are struggling out here, man. There might be a side piece convention. They got to do this summer and figure out what they're gonna do next year, man. Besides the disillusion during Corona, man.
I'll tell you, a doctor is very happy right now. Oh, OBGYNs, there'll be a lot of runner babies coming up here in a coming up that later this year. So they're very happy. We'll help you be a baby boom in January of next year, December, February next year. A lot of babies will be born from these quarantine Rona situations going on. A lot of people are bored, so I mean, a lot of people are getting down. It's like some guys getting down, whatever, get down in a long time. I'm at the clock right now, so I feel like always going to be very happy come late this year and early next year.
Yeah, it's going to be some corona babies, some quarantine babies coming, some COVID-19 babies. Yeah, they coming, man.
So, yeah, bro. So, before we go, bro, tell everybody about your new podcast, where you can hear it at, and what you guys are going to be discussing on a weekly basis over with you guys, man.
Man, appreciate that, boss. Yeah, definitely, man. The podcast is called Essential As Fuck Podcast Show, hosted by yours truly, JC, man. I got some crazy folks that's helping me out, man. My co-host, my girl Stacy, my boy Brandon, and my guy Lee Johnson, man. We coming together, and we're going to pretty much have a variety of topics, man. We're going to talk about a little bit of this, a little bit of that, sports, politics, music. We'll have special guests, you know, whatever's going on in the world at the time, we're going to talk about it, man, because we are all essential. Thus the name of the podcast, Essential As Book.
So, yeah, bro, let me know when you want me to come on, bro, because I got a lot of hot off the cover, of course.
Man, say less. Say less. You know we're going to get you on soon, man. You know I got to holler at you.
No doubt. Well, that's my man, J.C. Smith. Bruh, stay safe. I know you're out there but taking some risk every now and again. This bitch, you measure them very nicely. Hope we'll talk to you next week.
There it is. God willing. All right, boss.
Yes, indeed. All right, bro, hold down, man.
Okay.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody. Ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
Somebody to love.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show. Time for your weekly installment of the craziness in Florida. And so I got my man with me, Bone. Bone, what is good, my good brother? How is life treating you in the quarantine zone up there in the Tri-State area, man?
Oh, I'm good, man. Good to be on. Like I said, the quarantine life is for me. I'm in my basement every day, chilling, safe and sound. Family is good, so let's get it.
No doubt. Well, folks, you've been waiting on it. It's time for it. It's here. It's the Boss Report. First story bonus is Florida man allegedly drops his pants and is at TJ Maxx. My question is, why are they still open?
Yeah, he went to the Max. Like, what's he doing? Right? Yeah, first of all, why are they open? And then second of all, it's like, man, like, what? Is there nothing better right now in your life right now that's going on that you can't be, like, home chilling, but you just try to get back, stop and trial?
Yeah, like, come on. Like, come on. Like, oh, God, help us. Help us. We got this Florida man. The rest of the head for rock body being a customer. Dow Jones for man's girl's booty.
And what is in a certain store?
Dollar General.
All right, Dollar General, what's your thing? So he rock bottom some girl?
No, a guy with his girl's booty in Dollar General.
Ah, okay. So you got rock bottom. Well, I just say, I mean, the fact that, you know, we have a rock bottom so early in the segment is good news for us going forward. You know, usually we have Gores or Stone Cold Stunners late. To have a rock bottom so early in the segment, that's promising.
Very much so. And you know, it's just mighty. It's a theme we're going to have here today. Because we all know a Florida have been arrested for hitting a patron with a bat in Walmart, standing his woman's booty at the milk crate. Right? It's not a milk crate, Florida paper. It's the milk. No, not the crate. I don't know what it's called. It ain't a crate. It's like the freezer, not the crate. Whatever. Yeah, man, he went and got a bat for sporting goods. He went and hit it with his girl's booty.
all for a look, not even a grab or a touch.
A look.
That's
even
a little excessive. That seems a little excessive. I mean, it's not respectful to ogle at a booty, but I mean, just looking, maybe eyes. I mean, just looking. But I mean, it was no groping or modeling. I mean, just for a look. I mean, homie should be proud that he has a woman so fine. The other dudes are just ogling over her, but to whip him with a bat over a look is a little excessive.
Oh, yeah. Got this. Florida man Lazarus for throwing quick creed at customers who refused to wear a mask.
He's throwing what?
Quick creed. A 65-pound bag of the customers for not wearing a mask in Lowe's.
Oof. He must be strong, first of all. He's throwing pound bags like it's nothing. But damn it, there's a good workout. So he's throwing 6-pound bags at people. That dude's got some country strength, huh?
Very much so. Very much so. I'm like, dude, you're tripping, dog. Like, my man is straight tripping, like, for real, dude. Like, okay. Get this. Florida man politician mocks unemployed constituents for not having a job during coronavirus pandemic.
Wow. That's low. I mean, but, you know, Florida man plus politician equals usually scum. So, I mean, that's low there, man. It's like, it reminds me of, like, Instagram, with all these people who have these yachts and stuff, and take pictures of their yacht and their filet mignon, saying, oh, another Sunday afternoon here on the yacht. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, very disrespectful. Makes no freaking sense. I'm just dismayed once more by the idiocy of Floridians once more. And here we go. Florida man arrested for screaming outside of a Winn-Dixie, COVID not here, bro. It's a hoax.
Oh, yeah. I love those kind of people. I said it earlier off air with you. I love the ones that go protest that COVID-19 is a hoax, but yet you see them wearing masks and stuff as protection. So if it's such a hoax, why are you covering your mouth and nose? These cats are crazy, man. Like, don't they watch the news? I mean, and I don't mean Fox News. Watch real news. Don't y'all watch the news and realize how serious this thing is? Y'all some fools, man.
Maybe it's like, you know, they trust a certain idiot, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I said don't watch Fox News, a.k.a. BS Mountain. Don't watch them, because they'll lead you astray.
they'll get you killed.
Yes, they will.
They will get you into a casket faster than you want to be. I'm taking it right now. You'd be
all
in one last.
Yeah.
Hey, come on now. You don't want to drop down in that. You don't want to be lowered into the ground. I'll tell you right now.
Exactly.
I get this. Florida man blows a .339 blood alcohol level and gets DUI on a golf course with you naked, whacking off his Johnson, saying, quote, I need to see Jenna Jameson right now.
He must have been so drunk. They probably saw Jenna on the par 9. Like, he must have saw her on the 8th hole for real. Like, how about he's 23?
Yes, .339.
He's still with it. I mean, to be .3, ain't that a lot? Isn't that like triple your amount should be?
Yeah. That's like, oof, almost quadruple the limit in Florida.
Oof. So he must have really been on some other stuff, man. To be that drunk and think you're going to see Jenna Jameson and be backing off on the greens. Like, my goodness. Well, Florida, man.
The state of Florida is one of a kind, dude. Of a kind, like, dog, that's not even plausible, dude. Like, that makes no freaking sense, Florida man. And like, no, sir, you can't be doing that, sir. Not smart, sir. Not smart at all.
I mean, pick a better model. Washed. At least pick something better, at least.
Correct, like. It makes no sense. No, I mean, it makes no sense. Like, no. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Here we go. Florida man got 3 million views for tuning into pee and pooing. public arrested for attacking a woman out for a jog who had a big rump.
So he gets views for peeing and pooping on people or pretending to do so?
Yes.
So he's famous for that, or infamous for that right there. So right there tells you the kind of person he is and the kind of viewership that he is garnering, that he gets the views for pretending to poop and pee pranks. That's lame. But then to like stalk a jogger with a big rump is just crazy. He's lame, and so do the viewers. The viewers are lame because they follow him. 3 million.
Yeah, like, get this. 74-year-old Florida man was after pointing a gun at golfers who annoyed him.
That's it? Wow, really? He went to the ultimate get off my lawn type at crankiness. He pulled out a shotgun.
Yeah.
Because he's playing golf.
Yeah, because he lives by a golf course. Well, he lives on the golf course, rather.
He lives on the golf course. So he has cash already. So to live on a golf course, you're going to have some money. But he's old and crazy and rich.
Correct.
So that's hitting me like a elder Florida man, I guess. But the shotgun, that boy came with the heat.
Yeah, like, he's definitely wild. Like, for real wild. Get this. Woman arrested for cutting off his Johnson after woman refused to give him what he wanted, which was some toppy. So he cut himself off.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it. So maybe he just handed it to her instead as a gift? Like, what's the point of that? Why if you want the toppy, you might need to hold on to that instrument. Why are you cutting it off?
I'll never understand why guys get mad at cut off your Johnsons.
I don't understand to like spike yourself and cut up your own member. Is it like the movie Seven where you know it's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the box?
Yeah, I'm just perplexed. This is something I can't understand. I will never understand that first of all. Never like what?
Not too valuable.
We're cutting off ourselves because of what?
Yeah, too valuable.
Okay. All right, guys. More power to you guys. And here we go. Florida man arrested for stealing from Walmart while trying to conceal a face with underwear.
With underwear?
Yes.
So not like, you know, the mask, or not like a handkerchief, like a bandit. This dude put a drawers on his face?
Correct.
Were they at least his?
Yes, they were, thank God.
I'm hoping they're clean. There's so many different questions I have for this concept. Like, he couldn't find anything else. He couldn't find your old T-shirt. Yeah, you drawers.
How about a surgical mask, maybe? Like mask now. Like,
yeah. I'm not advocating theft and burglary, but I mean, but if you're gonna do it, be smart about it.
Yeah, like real smart about it. Florida woman catches Florida man on camera running naked in her yard and deciding to whack off in the grass.
So she caught him running around the yard, butt naked, huh?
Yes.
So did he know that she was home? Like, was it for her? Or was he looking for an audience?
He didn't know she was home.
Ah. So it was just a drive-by wanker. Like, naked for no good reason. Because, but why her yard? Why his own yard? I mean, you got to do something. Why are you coming up to the yard?
Why?
Yeah, I think the biggest question you always ask about Florida man news is just why. So the first word is usually why.
Yeah, this is awful. This is straight awful. And then you got this only Florida man. Two Jupiter, Florida men charged with DUI at the same time driving the same SUV.
Wait, they were both charged in the same car?
Yes, yes.
They took turns with it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna go first. No, I'm gonna go first. They were just that hammered that they both got DUI in the same car. That's hot. Man. That's a hot mess.
Only in Florida. Only in Florida. Here we go. Florida man buys haunted California ghost town, gets trapped in there for a month by a snowstorm.
He's in a haunted house?
Yeah, and he bought a haunted house in Florida, I mean, in California, and he got, you know, a snowstorm out.
So he was stuck in a haunted house, right? So what happened? Did he get any more details about this? Anything else happened?
They didn't. They just said that. And then he's dead.
He was stuck in a house. So not only he like quarantined because, you know, we're all indoors now, but he was stuck in the wrong kind of house, huh?
Yes, indeed.
Well, at least he didn't cut his own junk as, like, you know, as a protection. That's a step forward.
Like, it just blows my mind. Like, are you serious? Go. The stupid governor of Florida reopens the beaches during global pandemic and quarantine because he said he wants to give people time to enjoy themselves.
Ah, yeah. Go ahead out there, people, and spread that COVID. Keep going out there and keep spreading it. Keeping us indoors longer than we want to be. That's really smart. Florida government is ahead of the curve. That they're going to let people go out there and make the curve even bigger now. That's smart. That's Florida.
And Florida's dumb governor also made the WWE an essential business.
Yeah, I saw that. Listen to the backdrop of all this. I mean, when President went out there and he held a conference call with all the major pro sports commissioners, he did have Vincent Kennedy McMahon on that call. So right there, you know the Florida man, where Vince's base is held at. This guy was like, man, Vince is a friend of Trumpito. He must be a friend of mine. I must look out for these guys and make sure that business is still booming for WWE. And let's open up the doors for these wrestlers to continue to wrestle and sweat on each other and breathe on each other in close quarters. That's so smart.
Yeah, and that's why I don't really watch it anymore. Once I found out that Vince was aligned with Trumpito, I quit watching it.
Yeah, remember, Trump had Linda McMahon on his cabinet, too. So you know that they're all intertwined very nicely there. Florida, Trumpito, Vince, that's one big nasty triangle.
That's why I was happy in XFL field, I'm going to say. Like, Vince lost, just like Vince McMahon. No chance of hell, that's what you got. But now it's like, I can't stand him anymore. Everything that guy touches dies. So yes, if she was lying with him, I cannot stand you anymore.
It's just figured that somewhere in Florida, the state of Florida, they make pro wrestling an essential commodity that you must have it open. Only Florida.
Yeah. Get this, Florida man jailed after cutting off his Johnson at the convenience store because they wouldn't give him any red.
Well, I want to know, like, the fact that he cut off his Johnson, why did they get arrested for that? He only harmed himself. So why did they arrest him for that?
Indecent exposure is the charge.
Good point. Yeah, it is disturbing. But now this cat is going to go to jail with no Johnson on him, no member on him. Locked up with some pent up, frustrated dudes. God bless him. Good luck to him.
Yes. Get this. Florida man passes out drunk doing live stream drag performance, raises $100 for his own GoFundMe charity.
He passed out while doing the dance?
Yes, using drag, which is the video.
Yeah, but he made $100, so he must have an audience out there. He must have, you know, some kind of demand to make some cash from that.
Yeah. Not the man I want. That's what I want to see. Oh, my goodness. You got this. Florida woman withdrawing part of coronavirus stimulus money finds $8.5 million bank account is arrested for spending money on her own.
So it was an error, right? They deposited too much money in her account?
Yeah, she spent the money they got arrested for.
Don't these fools know that eventually you'll get caught? Like, the government does not play around, man. The government will find you. And especially when you owe government money, they will come for you. You can't spend what you don't have. Now, I heard a story about that also. Another dude got like $8 million or whatever, and then he called them right away to hit, take it back. Because you were smart enough to know that you can't be taking government money and not expect consequences.
Get the right, so these jokers right here screwed themselves once more. I mean, they're screwed themselves. So here we go. Florida man jailed twice in 1 week for impersonating an officer.
Twice in a week?
Yeah.
He got caught the same act twice in a week?
Yep.
So the first time didn't get through. So second time, finally, hopefully, it gets the message through to him, huh? What was the purpose of this? Was he trying to, like, jack cars or trying to get with ladies? What was the purpose of trying to person that officer?
He didn't say, which is shocking. Man, it didn't give us reasons.
So there's no reason. It's just felt like playing dress up and going out there trying to be officer of the law.
Yes, indeed. And get this. Florida man angry about shoppers not wearing masks threatens man shooting in Publix.
He was shooting?
Yeah, he threatened a man shooting. Because they wouldn't wear masks in Publix.
Yeah, the first guy who was threatened because of no mask wearing, he threw like concrete bags, and that's kind of funny, I guess, in a way. But you can't be going out there threatening a mass shooting, man. That is nuts.
Mm-hmm. Got that right. You know, this is even crazier. Morbidly obese Florida man sues restaurants for making him fat.
Yeah, I love those stories. I love when they do that. They sue McDonald's because they ate too many Big Macs. Like, fool, we didn't hold you down, put a funnel in your mouth, and shove the food down your throat, man. Just, like, if you want to do push-ups, try pushing away from the table.
Damn right. That's a crazy lawsuit. It should be thrown out immediately.
Laugh at too. Yeah.
Florida man lawyers had to be reminded to wear shirts doing virtual court appearances from their homes.
Yes, I heard about this. I heard that they're actually lawyers. Some lawyers are actually in their bed still, the nightgown. Some people are just lounging around. I mean, it is a comfy luxury to work from home now these days, where you don't have to wear pants sometimes because you're doing the Zoom from your waist up. But you got to be dressed at least a little bit, man. Come on, man.
The final one we got is this. Florida man arrested after beating cellmate who asked for a courtesy flush to help the smell in their cell.
So they got beaten, huh?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to side with the aggressor for once. If you're in that 6x8, man, and that courtesy flush ain't happening, that smell swells up quickly, man, into the small fine area. You know, I'm not gonna advocate a beatdown, but I understand.
Pretty awful. So, Bone, what is your take on this week's most report from Florida?
Well, I can last one, because I understand if you don't have a curtain flush and sort of small closet-like space, you got to get stacked up a little bit. But I also like how we left off with the rock bottom off the bat. The rock bottom took home for everything. Rock bottoms are always funny. Anytime someone does a WWE move in real life for someone, it's always a good start.
It seems like it happens in Florida all the time in Florida. Like, that's what they do in Florida.
Yeah, like, I'm waiting to hear you say a Florida man gave a cross face or a figure four. I want to see more complex moves now with you, Florida man. So please, Florida man, if you're listening, see more complex. I want to hear about moonsault, you know, or like a corkscrew la plancha. I want to hear something really death and defying, guys. I mean, I love rock bottoms. I love fours. I love stone cold stuff. But how about in now and then we do a figure four?
Or category or a side rushing leg sweep. Throw and drop.
Yeah.
something, you know.
Mix it up.
Inseguri, baby.
Yeah.
You know, like something.
Yeah, I want to hear. Yes. I want to hear about a moonsault off the top shelf of a chip aisle in Walmart. Well, come on, Florida man, be creative.
Yes, indeed, with folks. That's the Boss Report with Boss and Bone. We out.
And if you don't know, now you know. You know.